And Muna, and also hopefully we get to Bitachon. I was particularly trying to emphasize that two points that I want to continue with. One, which is that Emunah, is typically translated as belief and understood to be a reference to Anochi Hashem Elokecha, per se, something that we spoke much more about last year. But in fact, you know, if you look very carefully at the Makoros in the Torah itself, and in Tanakh, and in Chazal, and in most of the Mefarshim, it sounds like a lot, right? actually, the focus of Emunah is not really abstract belief, especially not in Metzius Hashem. That, of course, is a sine qua non. That's taken for granted. Without that, there's nothing more to speak about, obviously. That's what we mean when we say kofer bi'ikar, right? That's an expression. Means that there is no, there's nothing, there's no foundation without it. When we learned Chulin, those who were here a couple of years ago, we spent some time on, the different, formulations, about the problem, we'll call it, of Avodah Zarah. Kala Moda, Bavarazara Kila Kofer Bakala Torakula, or Kala Kofer, Bavarazara Kila Moda Bakala Torakula, which is even more of a problematic statement. And one of the things that we tried to explain, there are different formulations in Chazal, especially the last one, is that, there's no such thing, once you move away from, once you're kofar be'ikar, once you don't have an emunah in the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, then, whatever else you do, seemingly, out of, loyalty to Torah or to Halacha, right, is just spurious. That's what we mean by it. Call it kofar, call it kofar or call it modev, even call it modev, is a foundational step. There's no such thing as I mekayim taryav mitzvos. I'm just a little missing one of the 613. That's the pivotal one. That's the foundation stone. I called it the linchpin, I believe, at the time. And so, of course, belief in Metzius Hashem is critical. We'll get back to belief in the right, tenets, theological principles about, the nature of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, his essence, if one can speak about that, is also important, especially, for the Rambam and that, whole school. We'll talk a little bit more about that as well, whether there's anybody who thinks that that's less significant. But at the end of the day, that the term emunah typically, seems to refer not to belief in Metzius Hashem, or even in those abstract principles, as important as they are, but as I already indicated, it's really a much wider idea about belief in Hashkochas Hashem. And that is something that is reflected when we speak about, Chazal spoke about Noach being miktane, emuna or amana, mamin ve'ino mamin. They certainly weren't talking about, the fact that Noach was, in and out of, atheism, or that he was an agnostic, or that he doubted Metzius Hashem. I'm talking about whether or not he was loyal, a trusted follower, if you will, of the agenda, what he was, of Hashkochas Hashem, whether he was on board, for all of the implications and ramifications, of post-Metzius Hashem, of Hashkochas Hashem, and, what that means in terms of Avodas Hashem. That's where, Noach, wavered or was tepid, however you want to explain it. I'd say it's not agnosticism at all. We'll still talk about, the concept of doubt and whether this is something called healthy skepticism, you know, in the area of belief. Something I made allusion to, and I hope to get back to, if not today, then when we finish this little section. But either way, that's not what's meant, and likely that's not what's meant. Again, v'hemin b'Hashem v'yachshuvei tzedakah, you know, which is the first time the Torah uses that expression, as we discussed, certainly doesn't mean, you know, that, certainly not talking about his belief, you know, in the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is implicit, you know, from the very beginning of Lech Lecha, and, you know, the way that he, b'nefesh asher also b'charon, and of course, even earlier, according to Chazal, his journey of faith, all of that. You know, you don't need headlines, you know, for that idea of emunah. But for the idea of emunah in sense of trust, you know, and belief in the sense of, you know, believing that there's hashkacha, that there's schar va'onesh, and, you know, there is a, you know, there is justice in the universe, you know, those issues, that's where the hemin b'Hashem v'yachshuvei tzedakah, related to that part also, I haven't spoken so much about that yet, either. But this is not just limited to, you know, the Chazal and Noach and the first explicit reference about Avraham Avinu, you know, Vayaminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe Avdo, also implies, you know, not just the belief in the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Klal Yisrael certainly believed already all the nisim that took place, you know, in Mitzrayim. Questions, oh, that moment of that epiphany, that moment of clarity, you know, about Hashkachas Hashem, you know, being something to trust in, you know, and to give unqualified loyalty to be a ne'aman, you know, to pronounce amen, to see this, you know, all the consequences also as emes, and something ve'emuna kozos, something to trust in, that was like a moment of clarity, you know, for Klal Yisrael. And again, it maybe didn't last, you know, certainly their belief in God lasted, maybe even their correct notions of his theological, you know, essence lasted. But what didn't last, and what wavered tremendously, was the sense of trust, we call it bitachon, you know, although I think that's like a stage beyond a little bit in application, but it's the same, you know, general kind of idea. And this is true, you know, in other psukim, and this is true, as I say, generally, in the understanding, you know, of Chazal. So the Gemara says in Shabbos, and Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, almost all time in psukim, in Tanakh, when we have the language of Amunah, it's always, almost always, or maybe it's always, you know, about responding to the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, in a way that dramatizes, you know, his hashkacha, or, you know, responding to his intervention. It's never about, you know, simple belief, and that's really, you know, borne out by the psukim. I'll get to some of them in a minute. And this is brought out by Chazal. Chazal in the Gemara in Shabbos on Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara here speaks about Achoshe b'ksherim loka b'gufam. Gemara says, Amar Eish Lakish Achoshe b'ksherim loka b'gufo. Dichsiv, Dehein lo yaminu li. It's just like a very interesting piece, right? Of course, you know, the hein lo yaminu li doesn't mean they don't believe in my existence, obviously, meaning they don't trust me, they're not all in, they're not loyal, they're not willing to take the leap to follow me, to appreciate that what I'm telling them, you know, is not only true, but a proper, you know, a derech, you know, hachayim, the hein lo yaminu li. And you might have said, okay, but that, you know, when you talk about emuna, you know, here, that has nothing to do with the regular concept of emuna and the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? But the Gemara does link them. So the Gemara says that, you know, again, Moshe Rabbeinu said, give me an oath. How am I supposed to, you know, convince Klal Yisrael? No. Behein lo yaminu li. They won't listen to me. So the Gemara says that's an example of choshev b'ksheirim. The galia kamikutcha berichu, the mehemni Yisrael, that Yisrael, are capable of emuna. And again, this doesn't mean belief in the existence. It means trust in the agenda. Amalo, right? Rosh Hashanah said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Hey, maminim b'nei maminim." Right? They're actually maminim b'nei maminim. V'ata, and as for you, ein sofcha lahamin. That's also very shocking, right? They're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. And then the Gemara explains, "Hey, maminim d'chsiv b'yamein ha'am." Right? B'nei Maminim, that refers to Klal Yisrael's Amunah, belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? What does that have to do with believing the words of, Moshe Rabbeinu? The answer is, it's part of the trust in the agenda. B'nei Maminim, and the Gemara quotes, Behem in Bashem, by Shavar Tzedakah, Avram Avinu, that's B'nei Maminim. Ata ein sof chalahamin, Shanem Aryan, Lohemantem be, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu was ultimately, punished because Yan Lohemantem be. Certainly, that doesn't mean, that even for a moment, Chalila, Moshe Rabbeinu wavered, in his belief, in the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It doesn't even mean that it wavered in his trust, but it does mean that he wavered practically in the, what should have been the ramifications or the consequences, of that trust. And then, of course, in the story of the name Meriba, Mimai Deloka, and then the Gemara goes on and explains, etc. So again, this is just a great example where the Gemara itself, Chazal, generally do this, kind of links, all these things together. And we're not talking about a narrow belief in something very specific. We're talking about, again, trust, loyalty, affirmation, of a much broader agenda. And this is exactly what Chazal say all over the place. For example, these two psukim, Vayamein Ha'am, and Hein Layam and Vehemin Bashem, are assigned responsibility for Kriyas Yamsuf, right? Which again, implies that same idea. The Gemara, the Mechilta rather, Rabbi Yishmael, quotes us in the name of Shmaya Naphtali. Shmaya Omer Kedai Be'emuna Shehem in B, Avram Aviyam, She'ekra Lahem Esayam. And again, I don't think it's just Skar, it's Bitachon. Shenemar Behem in Bashem, Bayach Shebeo Tzedakah. Avtalyon Omer, Kedai Hu Amunah Sheminu B, She'ekra Lahem Esayam. So it's again, the interesting argument, whether this is because of being B'nei Maminim or being Maminim. Then they go on to say, Shelo Omer LeMoshe. What does it mean, the Nemanos? Shelo Omer LeMoshe Heichanu Yotzim LeMidbar VeEin BeYadenu Michya LaDerech Elaheminu BeHolcho Achrei Moshe. So again, the Emuna that we're talking about is not about Metzius Hashem. It's Emuna. It's trust in this whole vision of the Geula. Right, of traveling in the midbar without, parnasa, etc. So, once again, it's perfectly, if you could, the psukim, everyone practically is one which has this kind of wider significance. Right, the Gemara says in the end of Makos, that there were those, the Gemara, this is the famous Gemara that establishes the principle of Taryag Mitzvos. So the Gemara says that there were other like systems, that cut down, on the number of principles, systems that, you know, revolved around principles rather than the details of mitzvos. Just one second. There. Gemara in the very end of Matzeket Makos, and now Chaf Dalet Omer Aleph. Just trying to find it now. Yeah, here it is. So the Gemara says, well, you know, relevant to us, you know, all year long, has been, you know, the Gemara has different systems. So the one that's relevant to us in Bava Basra, of course, is, one second. Everybody's cutting it down. Ba micha vehemidan al gimel. Tzev higid lecha adam ma tova ma shem doresh mimcha ki masos mishpat v'abas chesed v'atznei alecha sem Hashem elokecha. Asos mishpat zehadin abas chesed zegmilus chasadim atznei alecha sem Hashem elokecha zehotzos hameis v'achnosas kala. Very fascinating. Maybe we'll get back to this, but not for now. Halo dvarim kavachomer. Ma dvarim shein darkan lasosan betzina. Amar Torah v'atznei alecha Dvarim Shadarkan Lasos Bitzina Alakas Kama Vakama. It's just demonstrating that Hatznei Alechas, again, is like an orientation. It's a perspective, even when you do things in public. Okay, that's not for now. That's not our topic right now. Then comes Chazar Yishayahu Ve'amidan Al-Shtayim. And finally, it's Elabach Habakuk, right? Ve'amidan Al-Achas. And that Achas is Shenemar, Mitzadik Ve'amunaso Yichya. So the Rabbeinu Bechai quotes this, you know, Gemara, and this pasuk. Can I bring it? Yeah. And he says that, you know, confirms what I already read from Rabbeinu Bechai, which is that emuna is the foundation stone, the linchpin of everything. Ikar haTorah v'mitzvah hi emuna. Mishein emuna noach la shalom nibra, and so on. V'hu sheyesh le'olam bore, of course, but nimtza yachid v'hu mashgiach be'olam ha'shafel v'mida adam b'klal u'befrat l'hotzi v'lipim shel kofrim ha'poshim b'amordim sh'orim ein hashgacha, right, etc. Not the kofrim who say that there's no metzius Hashem, but the kofrim who say again that there's no hashgachas Hashem and that the existence of God is of narrow significance. But later on he quotes the pasuk in Habakkuk. He says, "Ukedelo tia shemuna ikar haTorah, ikar haTorah kula kach matzinu shekol mitzvos kulam benuyos umiyusados aleha shekein darshu chachamim b'Habakkuk vehemidan al achas shenemar v'tzadik b'munaso yichya." So he obviously thinks that that means again emuna, which is what he's talking about. But then he adds, V'chein amar Shlomo, ish emunos rab brachos. Then there's a very interesting comment of Rabbeinu Bechai here in Karekemach. Again, the first piece. V'yesh l'chol adas, lama tolu ha'chachamim ha'inyan hazeh b'chavakuk, v'lo b'david. V'yicholun lomar, ba David v'hemidan halachas, shenemar, this is his proposal, ko mitzvosecha emuna. Okay, that's a pasuk in Mishle, he has his footnotes here. Oh, I'm sorry, not in Mishle, in Tehillim. Kuf Yud Tes Pei Vav. Is that right? Yeah. Kol mitzvosecha emuna. So why not, you know, why not invoke David HaMelech, kol mitzvosecha emuna, what's so great about mitzadik b'emunaso yichya? So the Rabbeinu Bechai, I think, you know, two-thirds answers it, but I would just add. Aval haya, Ha'inan b'pnei bir ha'nizkar shehizkir Habakkuk v'yamar yichya. For the Rebbeinu Bechai, the yichya refers to olam hazeh v'olam haba. Aval David lo bir b'inan askar klum kach tol ha'inan b'chavakuk v'lo b'david. Ba'kavana b'loshon yichya hu chaye olam haba. She'im chayim ha'nitzchim o amitiyim. Ki b'pnei sh'amuna yisod ha'mitzvos kulan al kach hutzok la'azkir loshon Yichya kelashon ha'amur b'mitzvos asher yasa osam ha'adam v'chay b'hem. Shikra Kavana Chaye Olam Abba. I would just add that, you know, I would have a little bit of a different take on the Yichya. I mean, I like the answer. I like the question. I like the answer. But and I like the reference to, you know, B'chai Bahem. But I think the idea of B'chai Bahem, of course, it's alongside with, you know, Chaye Olam Abba, for sure, Chaye Nitzkiyah. But I think it's even more so the idea of Chiyus. It's what, you know, gives meaning to, you know, life. It's what makes, you know, life dynamic and rich. And of course, that is the idea of B'chai Bahem V'lo Shiyomus Bahem, right? That the purpose of mitzvos are to give, like, purpose, you know, in life. So Tzadik Be'emunaso Yichya means that, you know, without emuna, but again, emuna here doesn't mean belief in existence. It means without the sense of trust and the agenda that goes along with Avodas Hashem, right, there's no chiyus. And that's what V'chai Bahem V'lo Shiyomus Bahem, right, really means. So again, if you look at various psukim, this is borne out, Pasuk in Chavakuk that we just spoke about, other Gemaras. The Gemara says, Rav Nechemya, Kol HaMekabel Olav Mitzvah Achaz Be'emuna. The word emuna and amana, also it's an interesting issue, the relationship between those two usages, always signifies, again, trust and loyalty. Like, you know, B'chol Beisi Nemanu. Right? Haimad Da'osek B'tzorchei Tzibur, right, Be'emuna. So, Rav Nechemya says, Kol HaMekabel Olav Mitzvah Achaz Be'emuna, right? Kedai hu shetishra olav ruach hakodesh. Shekin matzinu ba'avoseinu shebischar emuna. One second. Sheminu avoseinu ba'ashem, right? Zu v'sheres aleim ruach hakodesh v'amru shira shenemar v'yaminu ba'ashem uv'moshe abdo. This is also Mechilta. So I think what's fascinating is if you look at these Chazals, they seem to be mixing and matching, unless you take this interpretation, they seem to be mixing and matching two different, completely different ideas. Right? As one is emuna b'Hashem, and the other is loyalty or trust, you know, in the program, you know, of Taryag Mitzvos. But that's what emuna b'Hashem, in the end of the day, is also really about. And therefore, they're not mixing and matching. They're correct. The whole continuation of the Mechilta, the Rabbi Yishmael, is about emuna and amana, and there's a whole discussion about the relationship between those words. Again, you know, in the Chemya Perikut, umatzasa es levavo, right, neman, we say it every day in Tzvila, neman lefanecha. The same is true in, you know, Lishna Derabanan, right, the language of Emunah. I mentioned Osek, you know, B'tzorkei Tzibur B'Emunah, the Mishnah in Bava Basra, right, Perikud, Mishnah Ches, language of Emunah, right, Shekein Al Emunaso Hilvahu, right, the Gemara in Beitzah Daf Tezvav Medbeis, Omelam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, you know, Banai Levu V'kidshu kedusha sayom v'haminu bi, right, v'ani porea. V'haminu bi there, of course, doesn't mean, you know, believe in my existence. It means you believe in, you know, schar v'yonesh of the hashkacha, etc. Gemara in Sota, daf mem ches, kol mi sheyesh lo pas pesalo, right, v'omer ma ochal lemachar enu ela miktane, right, amana. So again, that doesn't mean he doesn't believe in the Rabboni Shalom, he doesn't believe in Ashkacha. Ketani Amano, which of course is the same phrase that we're familiar with regard to Noach. Rabbi Yitzhak Amar, same Gemara, Anshe Amana Elu B'nei Adam Shehein Maminim Ba'Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's Amana, right? Meaning, they believe that there will be Schar, and that, you know, there will be Hashkacha, and then if you do the right thing, you know, then you'll come out on the other side. That's not emuna b'metzius Hashem. That's emuna in hashkacha. That's the emuna of trust. Gemara in Tainus, bo rei kama gedolim bale amona, right? Based on edus Hashem nemana, right? Machkimas pesi, or when the Gemara speaks about, you know, zeh seder zroim, with, you know, oman, the seder zroim shumamin b'chayav shel olam v'zoreya, it means trust, basically. And again, we could, you know, multiply the examples. But I think almost all times, you know, when the term appears, it's either perfectly clear that it's about hashgacha or skarba onesh or following the program, you know, or if it's not, it's certainly more compelling to interpret it that way, etc., both in Tanakh and in Chazal. So, having said that, so I'd like to take a step back and go back to, you know, something I began to speak about last time, and that is the concept of Ktane Amana, you know, or doubt. So it's very interesting to, I guess, the Ikar treatment of doubt. Talked a little bit about Gnosticism, you know, previously, which is, again, a more recent, you know, term, you know, but the concept, of course, of somebody who doubts whether it's, you know, about the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, or doubts, you know, the agenda, which is what we're talking about, the trust in Hashkachas Hashem. Again, being a, you know, Mamin Ve'eno Mamin, or Miktane Amuna, like, what is the relationship, you know, to that? So, I think I already mentioned that, you know, we certainly consider, you know, Noach to be a tzaddik even after we were exposed to his katnus, you know, bamuna. So there's a recognition, you know, that you know, is a I wouldn't say, you know, a legitimate, you know, stage or position, but that it's not, you know, one which necessarily, you know, completely shatters, you know, the person's, you know, achievements or neutralizes his, you know, his good works. Clearly, while the goal is emuna shalema or tamima, you know, recognizing that sometimes people waver, they're tepid, you know, etc., is important. And I spoke about, you know, about the fact that Avraham Avinu's, you know, journey to faith, according to the Rambam at least, begins at a very, very young age and continues to much later. It doesn't mean that he wavered in between at all. There's no indication of that whatsoever, on the contrary. But what it does mean is that, you know, there is a process and different stages of development. And emuna, whether it be in Metzius Hashem or in, you know, the theologically appropriate understanding to the extent that we're, you know, able to be, you know, the essence of Hashem, or whether it's in Hashkachas Hashem, you know, is a process. And it's a process that we engage in, you know, from the beginning of our lives as we go through it. And, you know, we should try to be maximalist about it and aspirational about it. But, you know, it's not, there's no expectation, or put it this way, there's certainly an understanding, you know, that there will be ups and downs. That's different than perceiving that as a benefit. Get back to that in a moment. But, you know, not being overly harsh or being tolerant, being, you know, aware, you know, that people can undergo, you know, different stages in which there is, you know, more or less, you know, full or intense emuna, is simply being not just realistic, but being realistic certainly, but it's also, I think, default, you know, something which is, you know, part of Avodas Hashem for individuals and for a community. And while there remains an ideal of intense, absolute emuna, there's a recognition, you know, that there are other ways, and that one has to be kind of take the long view, you know, when it comes to assessing these things. Certainly, Klal Yisrael themselves, again, Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdo, Vayamnein, and yet, you know, whether it was the accusation of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hein Lo Yaminu Li, which that Gemara says was Choshev and Ksheirim, but certainly their own conduct and behavior, especially again and again and again in the Midbar and throughout Jewish history, you know, didn't strip them of their status of Maminim B'nei Maminim, you know, but certainly compromised at different points, you know, the level of Hashgacha that they were deserving, and certainly was a legitimate, you know, source of Bikoret, you know, by the Nevi'im, again and again, sometimes very intensely, all the way to our own time, where there's much to criticize, you know, in the Jewish world and for individuals. But at the end of the day, you know, recognizing that notwithstanding the ideal that there are, you know, stages, and that people go through, you know, different crises or different, you know, trajectories in their lives, it's something that's very, very, very important. The Chazon Ish in his Sefer Emuno Bitochon, which is a very fascinating, you know, little essay. It's only like 60 pages, but you have to read it very, very closely and carefully. The Hebrew is magnificent, but it's, you know, it really requires, I think, a slow read. So the Chazon Ish, you know, acknowledges that there are different levels of Emuna. Again, we know this to be true, but he acknowledges it not just as a reality, but, you know, with a sense of understanding. So it's interesting, even though, I'll just give you the page numbers that I have here. I lost mine a couple of years ago, and then somebody, one of the Talmidim, picked up one for me in the Sfarim set. So I think they're all the same page numbers. But on page 12, at the very end of Perek Aleph, he talks about how you acquire Emunah. That itself is very fascinating. Ukeshem shesichlo shel ha'atzil nachon v'dato das emes kein ha'dimyon shelo machriya tamid eskafa emes v'amitas mitziyuso yisparach miskabeles alibo lelo hisus ulelo pikpuk ki libo roe tamid brakei noga lamala migidre olam ubakoras boro yisparach imatzei pitaron achida shel ha'olam kulo. Asher hadricha munachas lelo hafugos. You can see it's very, very dense Hebrew, but really beautiful Hebrew. In this little paragraph, you know, he says, you know, that a very fascinating idea that like the path, let's say, to emunah shleima, is tikkun amidos, you know, refinement of who you are, so that kind of exposes you, right, to the ineffable, my words, brake noga lamala migidre olam, kind of exposes you or to a certain kind of transcendence, which, you know, kind of illuminates your mind and your instincts, you know, and that's kind of how you attain what he calls emunah shleima. So he's very, that's a fascinating yesod in its own right. But certainly he's, you know, proposing clearly, you know, this ideal, this aspiration of emuna gemura, amitas mitziuso miskabelas alibo, lelo hisus ulelo pikpuk. And yet in the beginning of Parak Beis, Os Aleph, he says that, you know, you should be aware that when it comes to midos, there are madregos. It says, "Ava midos bnei adam mitchalfot lemadregot ne'elot zeh mizeh. Ulkol ish yashar yesh mimidas hanava mimidas harachamim, aval ein bnei adam mishtabin bazeh." Right? Behem zeh lemala mizeh. When it comes to midos tovos, you know, hopefully everybody, every good person has them, but they have them in different, you know, proportions. And then he adds, Kain midas ha'amuna, yesh ba madrego ze lamala mizeh. Uktane amuna, ktane amuna, gam kain bechlal maminim. Okay, which is exactly what I was saying about Noach. He doesn't mention Noach, but, you know, he's, you know, the number one, I guess, that we, you know, reflexively associate with as Ketanei Amana. But again, Chazal used the expression Ketanei Amana again and again. So the Chazon Ish, despite in the previous page, eloquently, like, rhapsodizing about a belief which is a lo hisus, a lo pikpuk, you know, acknowledges, but, you know, also, you know, in a very tolerant and accepting way, you know, that there are levels in emuna, and that being ktani emuna doesn't mean you're not a mamin. Gam ke b'chala maminim hein. Kiven she'enim b'chala kofrim b'aminim, aval emunasam chalusha, ve'en pu'ulat emuna sholetet aleihem. Rak neged averos hayosem b'fursamos. Interesting. In other words, you know, the, let's say, the expected impact of being of having emuna, you know, shalema, is absent, you know, for such individuals. You know, it's their emuna will override, you know, their appetite, you know, or will apply, you know, to their response to certain averos. Averos hayosem b'fursamos v'asher kol hatzibur nizarim bahen. So, again, it's just agav what he's saying, and what he happens to be saying at this point, but I think it's just a very interesting juxtaposition, and, you know, it's, of course, we know this to be true, but the formulation that's A, you know, to be expected, and then B, you know, there should be a certain, you know, tolerance for it. It's kind of part of the larger configuration of Klal Yisrael, but an acceptable part, albeit not an ideal part, is something I think that is very important. Again, a little bit to contrast, you know, with the Svarnu that I mentioned, who, when he talks about Vehemin Bashem of Avraham Avinu, specifically says Beli Safek, and again doesn't mention, you know, Chazal about Noach at all, but I think is trying to explain, you know, again, like, you know, why now, you know, and why this, and we tried to explain a little bit why that context, etc. The idea that, you know, doubt or wavering faith, or especially the incomplete or insufficient application of the trust part of emuna, you know, that idea, you know, is therefore one which has to be really understood, you know, in a very careful way. In some Hasidic works, like the concept of doubt, or let's say a process of skepticism, you know, is sometimes perceived, you know, as kind of, at least temporarily, you know, as part of a process, like a healthy thing. Like, oh, to doubt or to challenge, you know, has benefits. And I think I mentioned when we last did this a couple of weeks ago, and I'll stop in a minute, that Rabbi Lam once wrote a piece called Faith and Doubt, and then he published a book where that was the first essay. The original piece was published in tradition, I think, in 1967 or so, in which he, you know, tried to marshal some sources to try to argue, because he was very influenced by, you know, Hasidic thought. Many years later, he wrote a book, you know, trying to catalog, like, you know, the basic perspectives of Hasidut on different issues. And, you know, I think this kind of impulse came from also, you know, living, you know, in the modern world where we do face a lot of, you know, doubt and skepticism, and especially even in Metzius Hashem, never mind, you know, in the concept of Emunah as trust and the agenda of being Oved Hashem. So I think, you know, in trying to be kind of Melamed Zchus, he was trying to argue this point, you know, that, you know, of course, doubt, when it affects performance, is completely unacceptable. But, like, you know, as part of a process of strengthening faith, like skepticism or some doubt, you know, can have like certain value. And this kind of was triggered a lot of pushback, you know, at the time, as I recall. I have to check the Pratim, but it's based on my memory. There were people who like were very offended, you know, by this notion. And then he kind of, you know, responded and pulled back a little more, saying, of course, this isn't ideal, you know, but he's trying to, I wouldn't say be Melamed Zchus, but trying to understand like a certain impulse, you know, etc. So this is, of course, a very interesting issue. And part of his treatment, as I recall, certainly, anyways, objectively, one of the most interesting treatments of the status or the, you know, the stature, in a way, of doubt comes from Rav Sajigon. Rav Sajigon, in his introduction to Emunas Videos, speaks about how it's possible that the Ribbono Shel Olam could have implanted, you know, the option of doubt, you know, in matters of religion, you know, in man. Like, how could a just and righteous, you know, God who seeks, you know, man's enrichment and benefit, you know, how could he allow such a thing? So the actual analysis of Rav Sajigon is very interesting. And then there were those, Rabbi Lam included, who kind of, you know, significantly, you know, extended what Rav Sajigon, you know, was saying, you know, to, you know, kind of validate or justify, you know, and add some dimension of skepticism or doubt, you know, as having kind of an ultimate, you know, religious value as well. So I'm going to spend just a couple of minutes on that Rav Sajigon, because I think it's interesting, and I don't think it leads to that conclusion. I do think that one, you know, needs to be aware and tolerant, you know, like the other Makoros were saying, that, you know, emunah is not something that you snap your finger and you attain, you know, immediately. It is a process. In some cases, people, you know, fall short, you know, even in time, of emunah shalema. And, you know, there's still value to the emunah, flawed as it is, that they have. But, of course, that the goal, especially when it comes to emunah and trust, is a full, you know, and unfettered emunah, I think, is certainly a very important principle. So we'll talk about that a little bit next time, and then I want to talk about the importance of, like, theological emunah and proofs for the existence of God and those kind of things. You know, that's right.